I do one thing and like the devil struck something else. It was one doctor told me, a lady said, I have a problem seeing images and different things. He said, well, your problem is your eyes sending the wrong signal to your brain. So it says, it makes me think that I'm seeing something that I'm not seeing, things that I not see. But I said, well, right now, I'm still able to drive and see how to do things like that. It's just some of the stuff is, I guess you call it depth perception. I can reach to touch something. It's still an inch away before I touch it. But just keep trusting God and keep believing Him, because it's things that we have. We have no continual city here. We are seeking a city that is to come. And so just let us find that and hold on to it. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we ask you to bless us, Lord, for this hour and the time that we live. God, we want to understand and hold fast unto your word. Lord, whatever may come before us, Lord, let us know that you have made a way for us. Lord, we may have troubles, but Lord, still there's peace within you. And God, that's what we're seeking. We ask you to help us and touch each and every heart, Father, what we have need of. We ask you, Lord, to grant it unto us and let us be in the place that we can receive, God, and we thank you. We know that you are possible. Through you, all things are possible. Lord, that's what we are trusting and believing this hour. We love you and we love one another. And let us all pray together and all bind together and fight against the one enemy, Jesus. Christ has told us that he would bring us through. And we don't have to fear Satan. He said, fear not. Little flock, let us not fear those things. But hold fast in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 11. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether.
Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high.
Whither shall I go from my spirit, thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence?
If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there shall thy hand
if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
I like that. I'm going to remember that, Brother Colley. Even the night shall be light about me. What a paradox. You know, because you go out at night, it's hard to see. But there's the light that can see. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms that also says that the night with the Lord is the same as the day. You know, we want to say, well, I can't see in the night and I can see better in the day. But God, he sees the same thing all the time. He's the I am, right? Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and lift your tithes and offering?
Life is easy when you're upon the mountain and you got peace of mind like you've never known. But it's down in the valley, down in the valley. Sing that first verse again. Oh, life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change, still God in. Let's sing that chorus again. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When the Again, in prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, oh, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain, they began to sing. Their chains were loose, oh hallelujah, and they were free. And I bless your name, I bless your name, Lord. I give you honor and I give you my praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Just give my hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, my. There's such powerful lyrics. That's the way chains start to break in your life. Just lift your hands and start praising Him, thanking Him for the things you don't have. Just start confessing by faith. Amen. Let's try this song, Our God is Tremendous.
think I've sung this before, so I know all the young people know this song, so y'all going to have to help me with this. Amen. Amen. He's a tremendous God we serve this morning. Hallelujah. When I'm in need, I call on the Lord, and He hears me. Yes, He helps me. He is faithful. Sing it out now. Oh, my companion and my best friend, the only true God. There is no greater, wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Our God is tremendous. His strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, He is almighty. He sends His angels to guide me. There's no storm too powerful our God cannot handle. Our God in simplicity revealed in you and me. Come down from His glory and gave us a victory. The greatest love story. And when you're trouble, Jehovah Nissa, the great enforcer, God Almighty will fight your battles. Oh yes, He'll stand for you. Your victory will come, not the way you think it should, but my great Jehovah just loves a paradox. Just stay in your position. Watch the miraculous coming through. Let's all stand as Brother Bob comes this morning. Our God is tremendous. His strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, He is almighty. He sends His angels to guide me. So let's sing it again as Brother Bob comes. Our God is tremendous. His strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, He is almighty. He sends His angels to guide me.
In the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to say, wasn't that a wonderful Sunday school lesson? That, I sure appreciated that. It's good to hear stuff like that right there. That I just have to throw some roses out. That was wonderful. Now, y'all just remember Brother Wade and Luis going to minister at Brother Martin's this morning. Brother Ryan already mentioned that, and Sister June doing well, and I saw the pictures and everything of the little birthday party and everything. So that's wonderful to see her up and doing. And Brother Ryan mentioned my dad, so let me talk about my dad. You know, I mentioned on the little chat that my dad had my mom was out in the yard, and she noticed that his side of his face was drooping, and he wasn't able to respond to her questions, and just looked like something was happening. So she took him to the ER, and you know, everybody was real worried and everything. But we certainly thank everybody for your prayers. What happened was, when he got to the hospital, you know, that he wasn't able to answer the neurologist's questions right and everything. But prayer got to working, and something began to happen. Because the next day, he was fine. They did an MRI. And I'm not just trying to, you know, exaggerate or nothing. They did an MRI, and they said that he got the brain of a 30-year-old. They couldn't find any kind of evidence of a stroke or anything in his brain. They're telling him, you know, he just needs to stay on some blood thinners and things. But as far as, you know, that's concerned, everything looks fine. And, you know, I think we've been seeing a lot of things lately, God moving on the scene and testimonies, and it sure is good to see evidence of faith working. And I just can't thank God enough for his goodness to us. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about, will he find faith? Because we've been kind of studying in Sunday school about faith, and you know, to think about that question, will he find faith? So before we read in Luke chapter 18 verses 1-8, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful to you, Lord, to know that we have a God that answers back, that responds to our faith in you, that you didn't just give us a word that'll fall to the ground and return void, that you gave us a word, a gospel that will do something. And you promised us that it will accomplish its purpose, Lord Jesus. If we'll just let it fall into the ground of our heart, it'll come up and it'll produce something. It'll produce a change in our life. It'll produce healing in our bodies. It'll produce a sound mind and joy in our life, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just, Lord, let your word go forth to your people and minister to whatever the needs that they have this morning. Lord, you know all of our needs, Lord. You know what we have need of, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that as the word is spoken, that it'll be, Lord, you'll have liberty, Lord, among us, and just build our faith up, Lord, to the place where we can believe the promises that you have given unto us, that are laying here in this word, Lord, in this Bible that we all claim to believe, Lord Jesus. Build up our faith, we ask. Grant it, Lord, that you'll just be with us this morning, Lord Jesus. Be with all of your saints. Be with the Brother Wade and Brother Luis there ministering for Brother Martin, Lord, this morning. I pray, God, that you'll give them a special outpouring, a special blessing this morning, Lord. Grant it, Lord, that you'll just be with us, Lord, in this house, we pray in your name. Amen. Now, I'm just try to take it slow this morning. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1-8, let's just meditate on these words as we read. It says, Jesus gave this little parable, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now you think about that this morning. Brother Bram said when he was explaining this scripture, he said that, you know, God's not looking to see who's coming to church or who's real religious. And he kind of went down through the list of all the different things that what God is looking for is faith. And to think about this morning that if you really want to please God, that to show him your faith, let your faith be observable to God. That's the thing that makes God happy. When God speaks a word out and it falls into the good ground of your heart and you say, I believe that. And you see, that's what we come to church for. That's what we gather together to hear the preaching of the gospel, to stir up our faith to a place where we say, you know what? I do believe. I believe that God cares about me. I believe that these promises that he told, I believe that there's healing that's laying in the Bible. And I believe that this promise that God made is for me. Oh, you see, that's when you really begin to lay claim to God's promise, something begins to work. And you think about this story that Jesus is explaining about this woman that she, something had happened to her in her life. Maybe we'll say it like this. Maybe just put it in present day. Maybe her joy got stole. Maybe somebody stole some of her lands, her possessions, something maybe, if we'll say maybe something that God had promised to her. Maybe she had a possession that had been passed down through generations and that was hers and somebody come in and stole it from her and she had to go before the judge and she was saying, it was mine, and somebody stole it. You got to pay. You got to make this right. And it was in the story, it's an unjust judge, a judge that's sitting up there that doesn't know God and doesn't care about man, doesn't care about maybe this little widow woman that's got this real problem. But to think now that this widow woman that would come and would implore, you've got to make this right. That God is saying that if we'll come with that same kind of a confidence, the same kind of a confidence coming to God, if that unjust judge, if that unjust judge would make it right just to get that woman away, to make her go away, what will God do to somebody that comes with confidence that he's going to fulfill his promise, with faith in his word? How will God reward that? You always to think about that. Jesus was telling us this story to stir up within us, that we should have confidence to know that God will reward our faith. Now, isn't that what Paul was saying there in Hebrews 11, that you've got to have faith in God. You've got to have faith that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to have confidence that if you need something from God, that he will reward you. I want to say this morning, maybe you aren't able to pay your bills. You've got to have confidence that God will come on the scene and work a miracle in your life. You've got to have confidence. That's the kind of faith that we can have. You go back and listen to that first message that Brother Branham ever preached, that faith is the substance. And he laid it out how strong that faith, if you really know what faith is, faith will take an obstacle and move it out of the way. Faith, if you got great big old faith, it might start as a little mustard seed, but you let it grow up big enough, faith will move any obstacle out of the way. You got a problem at work, it'll move it out of the way. You got a problem in your family, it'll move it out of the way. Faith will overcome any obstacle. Now, the question that Jesus is asking there, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, you think about this morning now that God is watching this congregation. God, he's moving just like in those meetings when Brother Branham was speaking. Now, of course, certainly we don't compare at all to the ministry that Brother Branham had, but yet we're preaching the same thing that he preached. And in his ministry, that the pillar of fire would move over the congregation and move, and he'd say, there it goes, and watch it. And I believe within my heart that what that pillar of fire was doing was watching for faith. Where can I find somebody that will believe the words that are being spoken? Where can I find somebody that will believe when all the world, all that Pentecostal age, all the denominations turned their head and said, we don't want nothing that you've got. But yet there were little people sitting out there in that congregation that said, I'll take it. I believe it. And that's what the pillar of fire was looking for. That's what God is looking for this morning. I got the privilege to talk to Brother William when he was here in my home. And we got, you're just sitting around talking, and we were talking about how that in many meetings that they've been in, many ministers have begun to notice while they're preaching the gospel, there'll be an angel standing on the platform. You see, this we're preaching a supernatural gospel where God is still manifest in the meeting. And they would say, he had the privilege to ask a brother, when you looked over there and you saw that angel standing on the platform watching the people as you were preaching with his arms folded, and listen, this happens frequently. I just want to stir up your faith this morning. But he would say, what would the angel be doing? And he said, watching the people. Now, you think this morning that there could be angels moving down the aisles this morning watching you to see what's going to happen. One time he said he was at a meeting and there was an angel. A brother nudged at one brother and he said, look, there's an angel over there. And he looked and there was an angel on the platform. And the angel was standing there watching the people. And he stood there until the preacher happened to move over where the angel angel was, and then the crowd just erupted because the angel's there to recognize your faith. The angel's there to do something. God is looking to see if there's anybody that wants to believe him. And he could be standing here this morning looking to see if there's somebody that will take him at his word. Oh, don't you realize that morning this morning that if you believe, if you have faith in what God promised, something will happen that your healing could be manifested in your body. Oh, you say, well, it's just for your dad. Your dad's the only one that could be healed. If you see one person being healed, it can happen to anybody. If you see one person receiving the Holy Ghost, you can claim it. Oh, that should stir up our faith to believe. Well, if that person over there can get it, why not me? Oh, without faith, you cannot please God. That's the only way to please God. Oh, you say, well, I've got a good track record for coming to church. I've showed up. My attendance streak is really good. I've been here for the last 40 years, and I've been here, but without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, your attendance streak does not mean nothing to God. Without faith, your tithe paying doesn't mean nothing to God. Without faith, you're paving the parking lot and painting the building and putting shingles on the place and maybe even helping people doesn't mean nothing to God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Faith is the only way that you can please God. Oh, you've got to believe God's word. And oh, there's some benefits tied up in this. Oh, there's some benefits that you can reap by believing God's word. If you believe he's still a healer, you can be healed. And I'm not just trying to excite you. I'm trying to stir up your faith because Brother Branham said, oh, he said, if you can have faith as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And if a mustard seed faith will move a mountain, therein faith is the substance. He said, how much little less faith would it take to move that little bracelet hanging there in the room? If you've never read that sermon before, I encourage you to do that. He's talking to that little sister there in the room, and he said, "You say you got all faith. Well, move that little bracelet that's hanging there." And he moved it and concentrated on it and moved it. And she said, "How did you move it?" And she said, "Who moved that? Was it the devil? Was it God?" He said, "No, I moved it." Now you just think that your faith. Well, see, that just goes over our head to think that faith is so powerful that your little faith, your faith can move an obstacle. Your faith can change something. And he said, if faith is a mustard seed, can move a mountain, how much little less faith would it take just to move something like that? Oh, to think now that he said, if your pocket knife isn't in your pocket, faith will put it there. And that stumbles us now. That stumbles us. But it's true because the prophet, we believe the prophet, don't we? We believe the prophet. Y'all don't draw up on me now. We believe the things that he said is true. Faith will do something. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that's what we fail to recognize sometimes, that God will reward our faith. Now, you think about this little woman in this parable, the little widow that she didn't have a husband that she could turn to and go to battle for with the judge. But she just come up there by herself and started troubling the judge and telling him, I've lost something. Now, see, if this morning, if you've lost your joy, you just believe that God will give you back and he'll give it back. If you've lost your children, if the devil has taken away your children, you believe that God will give them back to you. You see, I remember Ron Spencer preached one time. He preached a sermon, "Take Back." It's time to take back what the devil stole. And I think we can have confidence with faith, by faith, that if the devil's taking something from you, that you've got a right to go and claim what the devil stole from you. You've got a right, like this little widow woman, to come and make your appeal to the judge, make your appeal to God, and say, "Come on the scene for me. I need you to come on the scene." Now, if God will reward a little, if an unjust judge will reward a little widow woman, that is an aggravation. What about a real child or daughter of God that comes by faith, believing in a God that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, believing in a God who is the high priest of our confession? Oh, you should have confidence. Didn't Paul tell us to come boldly to the throne of grace, recognizing that we've got somebody that's a help to us? Brother Brown, he said, in accepting God's provided way at the end time, he said, cry for your knees. That's God's provided way. Didn't Jesus explain it when he said, the unjust judge to the woman that cried day and night? How much more will the Heavenly Father give them the Spirit who cry out for it day and night? Oh my, you think now this morning, if you're seeking deliverance from the things of this world, yes, you've got a promise that God wants to give it to you more than you want it. If you're seeking the new birth, and everybody's telling you and the devil's telling you it's too late for you to get it, you just keep knocking, keep seeking. That's what he said, seek, keep seeking, knock, keep knocking, just keep on till he opens. Stay out with it. Cry until the promised word is vindicated. Then you got it. You don't have to worry no more. You see, the Bible promised it. Then stay right there and cry until you get it. Now that's what our problem is. We back off from the promise. We come to church and we just kind of get into our little state and we feel like we're doing our weekly I think it was William or somebody said checking it off our list, but we fail to just press in to the promise. If you could recognize that if you persevere, God will give it to you. To think about that. Now, whatever promise you can find laying in the Bible, you got to have something to faith base your faith on. And what we base our faith on is the Word of God. So if you can find it in the Word laying there, you persevere until you get it. Like Abraham, he just kept pressing on, believing for 25 years that God promised him a child, that God promised him he'd be the father of nations, that God promised him his seed will possess the gate of their enemy. And he just pressed on through all that. Oh, you think this morning that God gave you that same promise that his seed will possess the gate of their enemy. So you got that same promise. So whenever you see the enemy's gate coming up against you, you press on and say, oh, maybe in your little prayer closet, you say, oh God, you're the one that made the promise. You made the promise and you've got to make a way. And faith begins to go to work. Something begins to happen. Something begins to move. You begin to call upon God and say, I know you made the promise for my children. I know you made the promise. I got something wrong in my body. I need healing. I need a touch from you so that I can preach your gospel, that I can serve you, so that I can be a real testimony of what you are and who you are. And shunt and begin to go to work. Oh, you got to persevere, church. You got to press in, press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. This kingdom is taken by force, not just a little haphazard, not just a little, well, I'm just going to go to church and that'll be it. But you got to press on. Brother Branham said, when you hear that God made a promise, when you hear that God made a promise, be perseverant to see it come to pass. Oh, how many of us can say it? You don't have to raise your hands, but just think inwardly. How many of you know that there's a promise laying there in the Bible that you want to see come to pass? You want to see it come to pass. And maybe you've just backed off from that promise. And you said, well, maybe one day it's going to happen. But, oh, if we could just really, we just push forward and say, God, I want to see it now. I want to see the healing in my body. I want to see, I know that you're the one who made the promise. Brother Brown said, Job, look at Job when he was afflicted. Sores all over him. He was all in the plan of God. But Job, too, was perseverant because he knew that he was keeping God's word. Nothing was going to bother him. Oh, you think about that little woman that Jesus called a dog. He said, I'm sent to the children of God and you're nothing but a bunch of dogs. But he said, you know, faith, she held on. She was persistent, perseverant. Oh, that's what perseverance does. When somebody says something wrong to you, or when somebody says something to put a block in front of you, but you know you read it in the Bible somewhere and you're just going to persevere and hang on to what God said. Oh, listen, all of us, if we look back in our spiritual journey, you look back to when God gave you the Holy Ghost. That's my testimony. When I was seeking the Holy Ghost, people would tell me that I couldn't do it if I wasn't in this person's specific genealogy, or there was all these reasons why it wasn't for you, laid reasons down before you. But you look into the Word and you claim it with perseverance, recognizing that if God made the promise, He's able to fulfill it. Oh, think about little David, that he was anointed by Samuel and he knew that he wasn't going to die. He knew that if God had delivered him from the lion and from the bear, that he was more than able to deliver that Philistine, that uncircumcised Philistine into his hands. And he went forth with perseverance, with faith, faith knowing that that same God that was with him with the lion and the bear was going to be with him when he fought the Goliath. And Brother Brown said he grabbed up his little slingshot and went and brought that sheep back by killing the lion. Why? He was perseverant. He killed, slew Goliath because he was perseverant. You got to be steadfast. You got to be perseverant. You got to take your faith and claim what your God-given right is. Take your faith and hold it up over what God said and lay it out there. In James chapter 1, it said, James said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. James chapter 5 said, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Oh, you got to, when you see a promise of God, you grab a hold to it and you just lay claim to it and say, "God, this is mine." Hebrews chapter 10 said, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Oh, to think about that endurance. Now, endurance is that mundane that Brother Luis was preaching about on Wednesday night. The mundane, that slow slog up the stature of a perfect man, where you're yoked up to the ox, you're under the ox anointing, and you're going up, and you're going through endurance. You have need of endurance, Paul said, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. That slog, like Abel when he brought his sacrifice up there, just believing that God would come on the scene and accept his sacrifice, coming with his faith, believing that God would come on the scene, and God accepted it by fire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Oh, that's an encouragement to any preacher to know that their labor is not in vain. Many times we preach and preach and not see, seems like nothing's really moving. But yes, something's working, because the word will have an effect in people's lives. Many times you don't see it. Many times it looks maybe disappointing, but there's an encouragement in the words that to be steadfast, immovable, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Oh, you think about how many times in the Bible Paul and all the apostles encouraged us to not give up, to just keep pressing on, to just keep pressing on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. Don't grow weary of saying good things to other people. Don't grow weary of coming to church. Don't grow weary, because in due season, the fruit is going to come up. It's going to produce. It's going to ripen. It's going to produce a harvest. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 4, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Oh, you've got to endure. You've got to endure to get the prize. I was talking to my brother at work. He's been running those. He's been running marathons recently. I think I mentioned that before, but he just to talk to him about running the ultra marathons, like not 26 miles, but like 50 miles through the woods or whatever, running through the dark in the middle of the night. And you got to have endurance then. That's why Paul said, run this race well. You start off the race, but in the middle of the night, one time he actually did that. He got tired and he just pulled off. And he said, after about 30 miles, he said, I'm done. But you see, God don't want us to be that kind of a Christian, to just get halfway and just say, "Well, I'm done. I can't go anymore." But you got to persevere. Press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. Press on. Press on toward what? Seems like sometimes we'll get weary and tired about what we're doing here. What are we doing here? We're pressing on for the capstone. Pressing on to the unveiling of the seven seals to give us rapturing faith. So don't just cabbage down and say, "Well, I got it all. I'm good." But press on. Why? Because faith wants the outcome. Faith wants the body change. Faith wants to see God do something in your life. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside also every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Oh, you think all these promises lay in here about somebody that will seek. In Luke chapter 11, he said, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open." I wonder if we could ask that question this morning, just down in our hearts. If there's something, if you want a further revelation of the message, have you asked God for it? Have you sought God for it? Or have you just kind of come to church and said, "Well, it's good enough for me to be here. It's good enough for me to just check it off my list." But if you got along with God and said, "God, I need to know. going along my Christian journey, I've seen people cry and get all frustrated because they don't understand Daniel 70 weeks and get all frustrated. And you know, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a thing that should be encouraged. We should want it so bad that we cry when we don't see it, because that's somebody that'll get to knocking. You get to knocking on the door of Christ, knocking on the door of his promises, and God said he would open it up to you. Now, he said, if you notice, it isn't just, Lord, I want it. He that asketh, seeketh. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Just keep on. You've arrived there, so just keep on knocking till it happens. I believe it, Lord. I'm on your hands. I'm on your hands. Oh, if we could just be persistent. Be persistent like Ruth, who said, I'm not going back where I came from. I'm not going back. I like what Brother Louis said on Wednesday night. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I'm going on. David persisted when he went got to Goliath. Shamgar found the promise of God that the land was for him, and he grabbed up that ox goad and he went after his promise because he persisted by faith, believing that God is the one that made the promise. Abraham going on for 25 years persisting, and Moses who 40 years through the wilderness persisted to believe God's word and to find that promise. All these promises that we're laying here, all these examples of great faith, people that would persist and believe what God had said. Brother Bram said, just keep on knocking. Just keep on seeking. Just keep on. And Luke chapter 11, if a son shall ask any bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What's Jesus doing? Building up our faith. Oh, you see, that's what happens as the preaching goes forth. Something begins to stir within your soul to know that God cares about you. To think that God cares about you. You might have got to a place in your life where you think, well, God just don't care about me anymore, but God still cares. God still cares about that gift in your life to minister to the church. He still cares about that gift in your life to play the piano or to sing songs. He still cares, and he ain't forgotten about you. He cares about you. And if our faith could just be built up to recognize that we've got a God that will reward our faith, that he cares about us. We've got a God that answers prayer. To think about that, when you get it down on your knees, your prayer is not in vain. That there's somebody that listens and hears and will answer back. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Praying will do something. Praying will accomplish something. You get down on your knees in faith or pacing around like the Bible says, so I stand praying. Whatever way, God will reward perseverant faith. But Jesus is saying God rewards perseverant faith. But will the Son of Man be able to find anyone that believes that? Oh, you think about this morning. We got a lot of people that come to church. You got a lot of people that congregate around believers. I got to reading a thread online, a message thread of just people talking about all the different churches that they've been to, just denominational people seeking a good church to go to. And you think about the condition of the world that it's gotten into, where churches now they got light shows and fog machines. And I was reading, one person said they went to a church and it was a woman preacher got up and they just read real quick a scripture, and then they looked like they had like an advertisement playing on the screen and nothing really pertaining to God at all. And that's what the God of this evil age has caused. That's why Jesus could say back then, he said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Is he going to find somebody that believes? Now, you elevate that on. What's God looking for in this day? God is looking for somebody that where the faith has been built up from Luther's preaching and Wesley's preaching to the Azusa Pentecost to Brother Branham's preaching, to restore us back to the original faith of the apostolic fathers, to believe the word for their age. That's what God is looking for in this age. Somebody that will believe what he's saying. Somebody that will believe that we're going to take a body change. Somebody that will believe what, like Brother Ryan was preaching this, talking about this morning, that the stature of a perfect man is not out of our reach. That God has given us the recipe for these things. He's given us the recipe to come into perfect oneness, perfect unity with him. Oh, God wants to see our faith. God wants to see us. God wants to see us enthusiastic about the word, excited about the word, wanting to see the word made manifest in our life. Not just tired about it, not just all drawn up about it and saying, well, I'm just going through. But if you got, as Jesus said, if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Another place he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, isn't that the same thing Brother Ram was saying? Well, he said, if you got faith, you can move the little thing hanging there in the room. If you got faith, it'll put the pocket knife in your pocket. Now, how many of us have testimonies that we can relate to and say, I remember when that was manifested in my life? I remember brother in South Carolina, Brother Al Arnett, talking about him and Pat Tyler were riding on the road and they lost their keys and they prayed. They leaned over the hood of their car. They said, we need our keys. And they asked God to give them their keys back. And they raised up from off the hood of the car and the keys were sitting there right where they had been praying. How many of you have the same kind of testimony where you lost your keys or you lost your wallet and you prayed and faith, what was it? Faith put it there. Now, you see, you think it's out of your reach, but you believe and you've got your own testimony where God did the same thing. You believe. you have a need in your body and you believe you're sitting there in church and as the word's going forth is being preached and faith takes a hold and something happens and you get up and that backache's gone and you get up and your kidney problem's gone and you get up and your kidney stone's gone because what? Faith took a hold. Faith will do it. Now faith just as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. Now Brother Bram said, he'd say, now you start off, you might start off with just a little mustard seed of faith, but you keep, what do you keep adding? You keep adding the word and it'll keep growing. Oh, how many, don't have to raise your hand, but how many wants your faith to grow this morning? How many would want your faith to grow? So, I want to encourage you that if you got this little mustard seed faith this morning, it don't have to stay a little mustard seed. But you know, if that's all you got, mustard seed faith will accomplish a lot. Just a little mustard seed faith, if you just keep hanging on and hanging on, eventually you're going to see that mountain move. But if you got great big faith, the mountain will just move right out of the way. Mustard seed, your little mustard seed faith. Now, Brother Branham said this, it'll grow into a marble and then it'll grow into a grapefruit and then it'll grow into a mountain sized faith. And now we got to have faith. He said, you ain't even hardly got faith to see a toothache healed, but you got to have faith for a body change. So we got to have a great big amount of faith. We got to have faith to overcome all these obstacles. I want to encourage you, if you, maybe you're struggling with faith to see a toothache healed, let me encourage you that there's a promise in the word that all things are impossible. It doesn't matter if it's kidney stones. It doesn't matter if it's a toothache. Let's get all this reasoning out of our mind. See, as soon as you start going to preaching along these lines, people start to reasoning. You start talking about, well, Paul wasn't healed for this. And I remember Brother Bram wasn't healed of the squirrel and all this kind of stuff. Let's cast down reasonings and just look to what God's word says. It doesn't matter if you've been sitting on your sick for years and years and the devil's got it in your mind that you just got to deal with it. You just got to sit on that. You just got to, that's just the way it is. But yet there's a promise in God's word laying there that we've got to come to. We've got to come to the place where we can believe. That we can believe like Brother Branham did. The little fish, he fell over dead and he spoke it back to life. That Hattie Rice children were laying over there laughing in the corner. And the word, the faith came into the room. And faith had an effect to bring those children back to her. That's our problem. Reasoning goes to work. That's what the stature of a perfect man is, to cast down reasoning. The word will get rid of all of our reasoning until our spirit completely lines up with the soul, the faith that's down on the inside of our heart. That's why if you really see what faith is, like that quote Brother Ryan was saying, if you really see what faith is, it's an impartation of eternal life from you, from God himself to you, that starts your journey at the bottom of the pyramid. Faith, the faith that I have The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith is what God has given you as part of the new birth. It's His faith. It's His life in you. His life in you to believe the Word and to lay claim to the Word. That's why you got to be born again, because without being born again, you can't have that kind of faith. You might have a little bit of faith for the time, like the believers in the Old Testament. Faith to just kind of get a quick glimpse at what God wanted them to do. But faith that comes with a new birth is God Himself in you, believing His Word to see His Word come to pass in you. Oh, that's why it'll produce a miracle in your life. That's why it'll change you. That's why it'll change your nature. It'll change your thinking, as we'll get to this afternoon when I'm going to talk about oneness. Brother Ram said that when Eve listened to the devil's lie, it changed her thinking. What will the Word of God do to you? It will change your thinking. It will change the way that you act so that you love your brother and love your sister. And it'll change you, because what is it? Faith is having an effect. And be not afraid to desire, Brother Ram said. Why did he say that? About mustard seed faith. You cannot hybrid mustard. It won't cross with nothing. You can hybrid kale, get rape's bud and so forth, but you can't hybrid mustard. It won't cross. No, sir. It's genuine mustard. And if you got great big faith, a miracle will happen. But if you got just a little bit of faith and it's genuine mustard seed, watch it bring you right on through every case and bring you right out. Why? Because mustard seed faith still believes that God is still God. Amen. Oh, mustard seed faith will lay claim to it. Mustard seed faith, oh, think about what mustard seed faith is. It's not going to mix. It's not going to mix with a reason. It's, somebody says, well, I don't know, I think you just lost your healing. I don't think you really got what you did. But mustard seed faith will just it'll hang on, because it's not going to mix. It's not going to mix with the devil's lie. It just hangs on. Mustard seed faith, what does it do? It believes that God is still a rewarder. It believes that God will reward you. Oh, you see, you come to God in the middle of the night beside your bed with that kind of faith, and you might think, well, my children are past saving. Well, it just don't matter anymore. I've tried to be healed, and I've went to all these doctors. But you come claiming your inheritance with mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith can wait patiently and confidently like Abraham for 25 years. That's what the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As long as you wait, the more you wait, the more your faith builds up, the more you're strengthened, the longer it takes, the more you believe. Not the less you believe, but the more you believe. And God has given us this morning a recipe for faith. And it's laying there in Romans chapter 10. I know this morning is the short lesson, so I don't have much longer. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How do you even know what to do without a preacher? How do you even know what to do without hearing somebody tell you that God made a promise? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Are the feet of them beautiful that bring glad tidings? Sometimes, you know, it feels like they're not. Sometimes, you know, like Brother Brown said, he got pulled over by that cop one time and he pulled out his wallet and it said he was a minister. And that guy got to mocking him and got. I think this is an age where we should be giving more respect to the ministers. Why? Because they're bringing something to you to help you, to get you out of, to preach a message of liberty, to get you out of the condition that you're in. This is an age where we shouldn't be putting down ministers and making fun of them and putting them under our feet and trying to say we know more about it than them. And the Bible says that the feet of a preacher are supposed to be beautiful. Beautiful because it's bringing you something that'll help you. And so then Paul goes on to say in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So if we want more faith, it comes by preaching. If we want more faith, it comes by the word. If we want more faith, it comes by repetition, just hearing it over and over again. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I like hearing things over and over. Sometimes it seems like, you know, we want to hear the next big thing, something that'll just knock our socks off. But I like hearing somebody just tell me about being born again. I like somebody telling me about the stature of a perfect man. Why? Because hearing those things over and over again, it builds up my faith. It causes me to know, praise God, somebody else is getting it. Somebody else is understanding. I like to hear kind of things rehashed a little bit. Why? Because hearing is connected with your faith. Maybe somebody will rehash something that I preached a long time ago, or Brother Wade or something, but you preach it again, you say it again in the parking lot. Many times I've heard somebody say it again in the parking lot, and it'll be something that I never thought of. And I'll say, oh God, thank you for that. Why? Because hearing is what is connected with your faith. As you receive it in your ears, as you receive it through your reading, sitting there, you're just receiving it in, and it's building up something that you can base your faith on. Brother Bram said, what a beautiful thing tonight for divine healing. The promise is given to you. Yes. By his stripes you were healed. Amen. What do you think about that? By his stripes you were healed. It's yours by promise. Now we have to go in and take it. Maybe you can't take it all at one time. Maybe you can just accept it tonight. Like I said this morning, if you wanted an oak tree in your front yard and somebody give you an acorn, you've already got the oak tree. You've got it in seed form. The only thing you have to do is plant that seed. It'll produce the tree. So as soon as you get the seed, you've got the tree. That's right. And seed form. Now, what's he saying now? As soon, there's the seed. By his stripes, you were healed. By his stripes, you were healed. And that's preached over the pulpit, and you hear that preached, by his stripes, I'm healed. And it falls down in the good ground of your heart, and you just sit there and meditate on that. God, you said, by your stripes, I'm healed. And you start thinking about how all that ties together. He died on that cross for me. He stretched his arms wide for me. All the scripture ties together, and he's the one that made the sacrifice. And you begin to meditate on that. That's the seed. It's a seed that's planted in your heart, and you keep hanging on to that, and it's going to come up. Oh, I thank God that we've got a promise like that. That you hear every promise of God. If you'll just hold it in your heart, it's going to come up. And he said, just as soon, faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word. And when you hear that Jesus Christ is the healer, he's raised from the dead, reproducing his life, has healed the sick, you've already got your healing in seed form. Oh, to think about that now, that as the word is being preached, you've already got it. You hold it down in your heart. You've already got it. Now you just got to hang on to it. Hold it. Don't let it go. Amen. Hold on to it. Until it comes up, man, it will manifest. Now, there's you the recipe for receiving every promise of God. That's from the new birth to healing to salvation to your children to paying the bills. Every promise of God, the word is received down in your heart, and you just hang on to it. You've got the thing. You got it. Just hang on, and it'll come up. Now, bear with me just a little bit. Just walk through the process of being born again. The word, you hear the word, and it tells you need to be justified, and you turn around and you start walking a little bit direction. Why? The word is having an effect on your life. The word is falling down in your heart, and you're hanging on to it. It's causing an effect in your life. The word, you keep laying there under the subjection of the word, and the word gets rid of that. The word that you're holding down in your heart gets rid of that unclean spirit, and you begin to come to church, and you begin to want the things of God, and you begin to act different. Hang around believers, and you want different things, and your life starts to change because the unclean spirit's going out. But then that word that you've been packing down in there, that word that you held, that promise, the promise of the new birth, now you've held on to it. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost can come on that word and quicken it. Now that the unclean spirit's gone out, now that you've turned around, your trajectory has been changed, and it'll bring it up, bring it and manifest it in your life. See, if you've got the seed, you've got the thing, but you just got to hang on to the promise and watch it produce. Brother Ram said, let me plant the word of God in my heart and purpose there that I'll not turn to the right hand or to the left hand away from it, but I'll live true to it all the days of my life. Oh, we sometimes think the word, the gospel is so complicated, but it's just as simple as, it's so simple you can preach it to some uneducated people in the jungles of Africa. It's just like planting a seed in the field. You plant the word in the heart of a believer. You find some good ground and plant that seed in there, and it's going to come up. Let the Holy Spirit move into our hearts, Brother Branham said, and plant the word. Let us be the field that the word will fall in that will bring forth fruits in the coming year. Grant it, Lord. Another place, Brother Branham said, I believe that God has to do the saving. I believe God has to plant the word. I, the Lord, says the Bible, Isaiah. I, the Lord, hath planted it. I'll water it day and night, lest some should pluck it from my hand. Oh, to think this morning that God is looking for somebody that'll hang on to his word like that. God is looking for faith. And how do you get faith? By the word. He's looking for somebody that'll take what he said and just believe it. And say, that's nothing but the truth. Like Hattie Wright. Hattie Wright got her children to fall over her knees because she just said, that's nothing but the truth. The word was born and married because she just grabbed hold to the word and said, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel spoke a promise over her life and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And now that's real mustard seed faith that ain't mixed with no reason of the world. There was plenty of things that Mary could have reasoned about. She could have said, well, I'm not married. That would have been a big one. I'm not married. I've never known a man. All these things lay in there that she could have reasoned about. But instead of that, she cast down reasoning and said, be it unto me according to thy word. God is looking for somebody that he can get a hold of. He's looking for that good ground that he can plant that word in. He wants to think that he wants to plant the word in the ground of your heart. He wants to see you bear fruit. He wants to see his promises fulfilled in you. And I believe this morning that that's every one of ours confession this morning, that I want to see God's word fulfilled in my life. I want to see his promises. I want to see, you know, look at the stature of a perfect man. There's a promise in here that you can have the same kind of temperance that God had, that Jesus had, the same kind of patience that Jesus had. And that the recipe is laying here in his Bible, that to get that same kind of a life, you just got to lay under the word and let it have an influence on you. You just keep taking in those seeds, those little seeds as they're planted, the little bits of word as they're planted, and grab a hold to it and believe it, and it will start to have an effect in your life. In Matthew chapter 13, it says that Jesus was telling that parable of the sower. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And he said in Luke chapter 8, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And Brother Brown will say, every spoken word of God is the original seed. God planted everything in the earth by his word. And as long as you stay with the original seed, it will breed itself right back and reproduce itself again. Let's let the musicians go ahead and come forward and we'll stop like there. Now, sometimes, like you're watching a wheat plant grow up from the little seed, it takes time. It takes patience for seed to come up. It's taken 2,000 years for the bride to come to a place of maturity that the original word, the original faith to be restored back. Sometimes it takes time, patience, but that don't matter. Sometimes it takes time to see something happen in your life and your family's life and your children's life, but that doesn't matter. You just keep holding on to God's word and you'll see it. You'll see something happen. You love the Lord this morning? Let's just stand to our feet and just worship the Lord. God wants to see what you believe. He wants to see you believe what he promised. Amen. He's looking for faith. Oh, I want him to see my faith. I want him to know that I believe his word.
Yes, sir.
I want him to see that I accept what he said.
Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden, and I was near.
Him. He's here this morning. How do I know? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. You have a need this morning. He's still the God that made the promise.
He touched me and made I met this blessed Savior. sins he cleansed and made me whole. Oh, I shall never cease to praise him, and I will shout.
Faith, Lord, and you've heard our sister testify of her faith and what you said, Lord God. Lord, we know that you're the high priest to take that confession and act upon it. Lord, we just trust, Lord, now that you'll come and move upon the scene, Lord, that you'll give her what she asked for, Lord Jesus. That we know it, we believe it, Lord God, because you promised it, Lord. We're just not looking to some kind of a vain promise, some promise of man, but we're looking to what the Almighty God testified of in his word. Lord, you said it, Lord. Now, Lord, bring it to pass. We ask it, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
God, you sure know when God touches you, don't you? Oh, when you get into that atmosphere, it just makes everything different. Maybe you didn't like somebody before, but you didn't get into that atmosphere, and it just makes everything right. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your nature. It'll change your body. Then you'll know somebody touched you because something happened. Now, I'm believing for something to happen. You love the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's sing something else. We got a little bit of time. Let's just worship the Lord.
In moments like these, Lord, I sing out.
Just sing it to him now.
Oh,
worship him.
I sing out a love song to Jesus.
Oh, don't you love him this morning? Don't you just love him?
In moments like these.
How could you not love him? Oh, if you don't love him this morning, I want to remind you that he loves you. He loves you enough to die for you.
still sets me free to praise Him. And I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life, and I cannot fall, for it's greater.
What Christ has done, what He paid on the cross, is greater than all of your sin. Thank God for a promise like that. Aren't you glad that you can take advantage of that? Aren't you glad of His love? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll just be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful for Your many blessings to us. Thank You, Lord, for Your promises to us. I pray, God, that You'll just bless the church as they go out to eat, Lord, that You'll be with them, Lord, and watch them on the road, Lord Jesus. And grant it, Lord, that You'll, Lord, help us to return back this afternoon, that You'll bless the evening service. We thank You, God, for Your many promises and for Your goodness to us now. Go with Your people, we pray in Your name. God bless you. Sing it to Him as you're dismissed.
That still cleanses me, is the grace that still saves.